Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Leonard Fournette, and you listen to the Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, I've been doing best ball drafts all weekend, trying to get our best ball cheat sheet updated to version 1.5 here for this week, the final week before draft week. So I have some things that I wrote, a whole grip of things I was writing down yesterday that I was concerned about on the cheat sheet. We'll go through them one by one, talk about what we need to do about this stuff. I do want to start out, though. You said that you had some NFL draft news that you wanted to kind of enter the show with.
So, like we talked about, the draft's a week away, and a week from now, we'll be having some – our conversations will tighten up quite a bit when it comes to the huddle report and doing our mock draft for round one. And over the weekend, I was looking through some – different things and different ways that this thing could unfold. And one thing I came across is something that hasn't really been talked about a ton, but when you look at it from a top-down perspective of what Gladstone and the Jaguars are currently looking at, and you look at like the Jaguars roster from like just an overall needs perspective, like Mason Graham has always been who we've plugged in. Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan, has always been who we've plugged in to the Jags. But I'm looking at the Jags and I'm working through a mock and I go, well, I mean, they just drafted Mason Smith in the second round last year. I know it wasn't him. They got Arik Armstead there, respectable. Devon Hamilton, he was drafted in 2020 in the third round. They got a good defensive tackle room, and they also got two LSU guys that they drafted each of the last 2 years. And I'm thinking to myself, if we're being honest, corner is a bigger need than not. If you look at last year on PFF, all the cornerbacks for Jacksonville, everybody grades in the 60s in PFF in overall coverage grades and stuff like this. And I'm wondering, if you look at the top 10, so we know it's Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, New England, and then Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's positioned just ahead of the Raiders and the Jets. And if a team was to move up, let's say hypothetically the Saints wanted to move up so that somebody else didn't get ahead of them for a quarterback, whether it's Dart or Shador, and the Jaguars moved off of 5 – This could really mess with our top 10. This is why I'm asking this question, is I'm just trying to prepare for these unforeseen things. I've been trying to work through this top 10. You got my head working a year ago when you said, you know, you got to focus on the top 10. You got to focus on the top 10. I'm just trying to work through these different avenues. Is if the Saints hypothetically came up to 5 to get a quarterback and the top 4 went as expected with Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Graham falls to the Raiders at 6. They can't pass on Graham, right?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
That to me feels like about as rock solid a pick as you could possibly make. We've talked about putting him next to Christian Wilkins and just like having Max Crosby. Like, I mean, it would. You have a guy there now in Tom Brady who I would assume is going to have some kind of say in all of this. And there's certainly, you know, Pete Carroll. There's certainly adults in the room. I would think if there are adults in the room, you would it's a very sensible thing to do, smart thing to do, low risk, high upside. You know, it's great. It's the same reason why I thought it would. You know, I think Gladstone's sharp. It's why I kind of thought Gladstone would take him there.
And so that puts Graham at 6-7. I go Membu to the Jets. Armon Membu, the tackle from Missouri. And then at 8 and 9, you go Panthers, Saints back to back.
Yeah.
And
are we saying the Saints moved out though?
The Saints moved from 5 to 9. The Saints moved from 9 to 5. So Jags are now at 9. I apologize. Yep. Jags are at 9. So it's Carolina, then Jags. And at 8, a lot of people have talked about, obviously, Jalen Walker, the edge rusher from Georgia, linebacker, Michael Williams from Georgia, and Will Johnson has his pro day this week, today.
Yeah.
Will Johnson
run a 40. He's not going to run a 40.
Probably not, but the flat circle comes back around, I think, on Will Johnson. I think he goes ahead of Jahdae Barron, but I think both of these spots, Carolina and Jacksonville, you circle for cornerback. Well, if Carolina's impressed with the Will Johnson today, they could take Will Johnson at 8. If Carolina, which we've seen the last couple of years, go Jatavion Sanders in the 4th, Jonathan Brooks in the 2nd, they have a connection to Texas, Jahdae Barron there. I just wonder if this is how a potential way this could unfold. Does that sound crazy to think about a Jacksonville doing this? Where's your mind go when I lay out this plan?
Well, the first thing I think is that, like, if there was one team that we know is prone to trading up, it's the Saints. They love to trade up in the first round. Haven't they done it more than half the time in the last decade?
6 times in the last decade.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more often than not that they do.
They also pick at 40. So if they don't trade up, they could trade up from 40 into the 20s to take a quarterback too.
That's the question is, do you need to trade up to get, I think that these teams that need quarterbacks and this stuff with the Clevelands of the world and the Giants of the world. And, you know, I guess now we probably do need to change what we feel about where you got to get ahead of to make this. And it's not so much at 21 to Pittsburgh anymore. It now could be legitimately at 9 to New Orleans with all the Derek Carr news. And I still don't feel like I have a really good grip on what's going to happen with that.
The injury thing makes it feel like, because we heard the murmurs of like post-June 1 cut, things like this, right? But now the injury stuff tells me like this is a potential way to get out of more of that money. Right? Yeah. If you can establish an injuries there. I feel like there's probably wording in contracts, you know, obviously like the Deshaun Watson thing's happening right now, but
a team can't just cook up the Saints just can't just cook up this thing and say like,
but if they knew he was hurt before and he was just being a tough man about it.
Yeah. But now he's saying that, you know, he might elect to get surgery that would keep him out of the 2025 season. The team can't force him to get surgery. You know, I guess what the team could do is get it out there and get that narrative to kind of shape let that narrative sort of shape the discussion about how this works. So all of a sudden, you know, you talk about Derek Carr and all this, and they're like, well, since we've already broached that subject, now we can talk about the legal ramifications as it pertains to his contract, yada, 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 right? I haven't heard Derek Carr. Has Derek Carr come out and said anything about this?
I haven't seen anything.
So it's like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, teams are going to, they're going to have to shift the way that they look at the quarterback dynamic. If they want to move up for a quarterback, be it Shadur, be it Dart, and now at least consider the possibility of getting ahead of number 9. I would just say this though, it still feels nebulous. It still feels like something where it's like, and you know how these NFL teams are, people get set in their ways, and you've got to be nimble in the draft for sure. Right. But in the time leading up to the draft, the way that you picture it and the way that you pictured the board falling all this time, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get those synapses out of their brain saying it's like, oh, well, I always thought it was a spot where I had to move up to, you know, 15 or 16 or, you know, see if like Cincinnati wants to trade out at 17 or something like that to be able to get up. Now you're talking about, I got to go up to 5 for Shadur Sanders.
Yeah. So maybe that means, maybe what we're getting to here is the fact that maybe teams are just going to be patient until that second quarterback goes. And then, because we've heard obviously different thoughts of like Shador's ahead of Dart, Dart's ahead of Shadur, but they're close, they're similar. Maybe it's whenever that second guy goes, the third one might be the one people are aggressively attacking.
I just think, man, I'm still going to send Mason Graham as of right now to Jacksonville at 5, and I'm going to keep it chalk with Mimbu to the Jets, I had to do it today, I would send Jalen Walker to the Panthers, and then I would send, I don't know, Shedeur Sanders, I guess, to the Saints.
Okay.
And just have it be where they're like, man, we can sit pat here, and if somebody wants to trade up and they want to trade up ahead of us to take Shedeur, we're fine taking Jackson Dart. And okay. I don't think that – I'm not sure that would screw up your mock.
Who'd you send to the Raiders then? Janty?
In that case – oh, yeah, I didn't talk about the Raiders. Probably Ashton Jeanty.
Okay, because in my case, I had him going 10 to the Bears.
Who do you have going to 6?
Well, that's why I said Graham.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, just for this whatever iteration of a mock.
Yeah, I'm just – I mean, I haven't even built a whole mock out. I was just, like, working on getting the top 10 right and going through the different thought processes that could potentially come down the pipeline. And the Jags have – the thing is the Jags have – it's not like they're like short of picks or anything where they need to move down to get up to 10 or something. Like, the Jags currently sit with 10 picks already, a first, second, two-thirds, two-fourths, a fifth, two-sixths, and a seventh. It's like they have an ample amount, but – If you could get another second round pick and move back a couple spots and get a cornerback, like all of a sudden that second round is like, all right, we can get a receiver and a D tackle or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I could totally see it happening. And you know how these mocks go. It's like you really, like you said, you get that straw. It's like setting the foundation. You got to get the foundation right. And if you just hate it whenever the first part gets thrown into a total blender because everything from there gets screwed up because I can see what your concern is for sure. And I think we do need to start thinking about it the way the NFL teams are thinking about it, that spot, if you're really interested and you really want to get ahead of somebody, you got to think about number 9 now with the yeah. Derek Carr news. It just is what it is. Does this Derek Carr stuff affect the way you feel about Chris Olave?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't drafting him anyways right now. I'm pretty much hands off of everything in like New Orleans right now. Pretty much hands off of everything in like Cleveland right now. I know. I think we talked about buys a couple weeks ago. It's like Jerome Ford on the surface feels like a pretty decent dynasty buy right now. But as far as like season long best ball things of this nature, I'm pretty much staying away from a couple of situations outside of like obvious talent spots like Malik Nabers. Like, yeah, they could add a quarterback, but they also have a couple quarterbacks, and I don't think anybody's going to go into that Giants offense and really do anything to Malik Nabers. Where I have questions with Cleveland, I have questions in New Orleans to a certain extent. I guess you could say the same thing applies to Tennessee. I think Tennessee could do anything. They could take a receiver or running back to add on to Cam. A couple of these different offenses I'm just staying away from right now in the spring.
Okay, so where Chris Olave is going right now, I was just wondering what you kind of thought about this. So where he's actually going, right at the exact same time as Jalen Waddle, and with some, it feels like Tyreek Hill is falling a little bit right now, just because, you know, people are they're spooked by this guy and just, you know, off-field stuff and rumors of possible trades, all the rest of it. But on the other side of the coin, if there was a trade for him, I mean, I figure we have to have Waddle ahead of Olave, right? Should Olave be out of striking distance for sure? Because you get past Olave, you start looking at dudes like, you know, Juwan Jennings and Jerry Jeudy and Calvin Ridley and Jaden Reed, who's been so disappointing. Just kind of with the talent profile of an Olave, I kind of want to take him ahead of those guys. Although, with Jeudy, crazily enough, the fact that, you know, Flacco's now there.
Aren't they in different tiers? Wait, Olave's not by Juwan Jennings, is he?
Well, just like as far as, yeah, I mean, like not on our cheat sheet, but just in general. So Olave's going right now at like 57. Juwan Jennings is going at 63. Jerry Judy's going at 65.
We got Olave right at about 60.
Yeah. So we're like three spots low. So, I mean, there was times when I was doing all these mocks or not mocks, just doing these underdog drafts over the weekend where Chris Olave, I didn't get him much, but he came within striking distance at times. Do we not even want him in striking distance?
Not yet. I think I would take, I think I like Ricky. I think we have to take into account Calvin Ridley's target share this next year, unless they add some alpha, and there's no alpha. I mean, who in this draft scares you that could go to Tennessee and really like take targets from Calvin Ridley? Like outside of like some like connection, like in a Restrepo goes there and Restrepo has a connection with Cam Ward on day one. Like what capital could it be a Luther? Could a Luther Burden go in there and totally nuke Calvin Ridley for you?
I mean, you're talking about taking Luther Burden maybe at 35.
Yeah. That'd be like the one thing I feel like you have to evade if you're trying to, I would take Ridley over Olave unless that happened.
Or maybe Egbuka.
I feel like Egbuka is not going to get there, but I would like I'd take Egbuka today over Olave because Egbuka is Olave, but he's healthy.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's how I view him.
I mean, how close are those guys? I mean, we're talking though, a difference in ADP of 30 spots. I think what that means is I'll make a note here is that Egbuka should come up and Olave just probably needs to go down. So I'll take this sheet.
How far away is Ridley in ADP?
What I say? Like six spot or no. Ridley from Egbuka or Ridley from Olave?
Olave.
12 spots, one round. Do you think Ridley should get a tick up relative to ADP?
Yeah, man. I think they meet. I think you take them, you know.
Okay. So Egbuka and Ridley up relative to Olave leveraging ADP.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next one here is just right at the very top. The way that we're handling these best ball drafts and some of these ones I did yesterday, it's almost like a little bit spooky. And I know people are going to get a little spooked doing it, but this is why we do the work. This is why we do it. We're getting a lot of rookie running backs because a lot of these guys present a lot of value. I'm getting a lot more of these builds where I get six running backs than I, you know, generally I like to get four or five running backs. Some of these I've been getting like six or seven running backs because there does come a point in these drafts where I don't feel like you're throwing a dart whenever you pay up for an Omarion Hampton or you pay up for a Travion Henderson to a certain degree for a Quinshon Judkins. Now they could all fall to bad spots. But I like right now getting Omarion Hampton where I can get him, right? He's getting a little bit more expensive though, Cody. It's like the current ADP right now is 42, and I really liked it when I could sometimes get him. There used to be a time where you could start out with four wide receivers and take Omarion Hampton with your fifth pick. Now it's starting to be like it's priced into where that can sometimes still happen, but it doesn't happen very much at all anymore. And to me, cross-positionally, just from a cross-positional standpoint, right, Omarion Hampton, should he be – from a roster build standpoint, do you want to take him before you take like the – or at about the same time you start thinking about maybe I can go like elite quarterback here with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jaden Daniels, and that falls around the same time as wide receivers like DJ Moore, Garrett Wilson – Devontae Adams, Marvin Harrison Jr. that would make us have to put Omarion Hampton over players, though, like Chase Brown and Kyren Williams. And I don't think that that's, I don't think that that's right at this point to do that. Because Chase Brown has an ADP, not so much Kyren, but you could put Omarion over Chase Brown and get him well into that tier, or basically into that tier where you're considering the Jaden Daniels end of that first cluster of, like, kind of like the quarterback three.
Do you think Cincinnati drafts a running back with one of those six picks?
No.
So we think we're pretty much safe. Matt brought this up the other day. He's like, Chase Brown's not that safe. And I'm like, they only got six picks. Like, I don't.
I think given how cash strapped they are,
it's maybe, like a Fournette spot potentially.
Is Fournette still even in the picture for
people? Yeah, Fournette's been training down in Tampa. He's trying to get back on the roster one more time.
Fournette. I could throw in the Leonard Fournette roster watch ID to start this pod.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like that's, yeah. I mean, I know it's like an off the wall name, but it's like, that's the type of back that I think I could see Cincinnati adding. And I don't think that hamstrings you with Chase Brown. So, I think I like Chase Brown attached to Cincinnati a little bit better than Omarion, just at the current state. Like if we think about like landing spots, we talked about it with Genty earlier. It's like, yeah, we think Genty works pretty much regardless of where he goes, but what if Genty's the guy that goes at 10 and then where's Omarion go? If Dallas doesn't take a running back, Omarion falls. He's not going there. He ends up at 20.
Oh, okay. So yes. And that's a smash.
Okay. So you say Omarion in Denver or Pittsburgh is a, no matter what, you're putting him ahead of Chase Brown.
I'm putting him ahead in Denver. It's a little bit tougher in Pittsburgh.
Well, he's the lead back either spot.
But this will be after the draft, and we'll know that Chase Brown will have zero competition, whereas Omarion's got a lot more.
This is to take advantage of pre-draft, right?
Right. But, well, yeah, right. Okay. I think I know what to do here. We're not getting much Kyren Williams anyway. There's a structural move that I can make here. So structurally fix Kyren, Chase, Omarion, Hampton. Okay. What about – how do you feel about – in two drafts yesterday, I hated this. I got Joe Mixon.
Where's he at? Like is he like a seventh runner?
So I can just pull up the last one I did where I.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
He's not like a fifth rounder, is he?
I think it might have been fifth. It might have been, what was it, 1, 2, 3? Sixth round? No, fifth round. Sorry. Because there was a run on these types of wide receivers like Xavier Worthy, Jameson Williams, Roma Dunze, Zay Flowers, all those types.
I think it's probably
you taking fine. those kinds of wide receivers over Mixon.
It's probably fine.
Okay.
I kind of like that tier. Jamo, Zay, and Rome. Maybe a little bit more, but
okay. Well, I'm fine with that. I kind of don't want Mixon on this team. Funny enough, if I wouldn't have gotten Mixon, this would have just been all rookie running backs. Would have been Omarion Hampton, Quinshon Judkins, Dylan Sampson, RJ Harvey, Jarquez Hunter.
Totally sick. Like I know we've been talking about these guys, talking these guys up for the last 5 months, but like that's totally sick. And you get five of them.
Yeah. And then you get wide receivers like CeeDee Lamb, JSN, Terry McLaurin, you know, Devontae right. Adams, Matthew Golden, Michael Pittman, you know, whatever, Torrey Horton, you know, Troy Franklin, crappy guys towards the end, but that's what you get with 19th, 20th round picks.
QR code top right of the screen right now, link in the description to get the best ball cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com.
Oh, yeah. And there's a link also if you're listening on the podcast, there's a link in the podcast description. Also, we always forget to ask. They always tell us, please like the show and subscribe to the channel. Our subscriptions are going way up. Our views are going way up. We can't thank you guys enough. And that lets us know that we need to keep doing the show here daily for you guys. What about Travion Henderson's also getting more expensive, Cody? And I've had to move him up to where we can end up getting him. But even with moving him up and boosting him, I don't think – when I was doing the analysis yesterday, I don't think I can get him up into the same tier without totally breaking ADP. Maybe I could. Do you like Travion Henderson just in a vacuum better than Chuba Hubbard or Joe Mixon?
Yes.
Travion Henderson or don't worry about your positional limits. Travion Henderson or say Zay Flowers or Rome or Tet or J-Mo.
I think Travion over Zay. Travion over Rome. I think him and Zay side by side would be nice.
Okay. And then, okay. What about Judkins as he compares to Kenneth Walker and Alvin Kamara? Because Judkins' ADP is 10 spots below those guys. Does that seem right to you?
I think that's right. Right. I think that's right. Right now, because you know we heard some murmur about running back with the Kamara situation. Kamara's got a year. They got to opt out after next year. He's got $30 million cap this year. They have Kendre. We haven't heard obviously anything about Kendre. Those camps will start up here. I think their camp started today with Kellen Moore because he's an early coach. We'll see what comes out about that if he talks about Kendre. I think I'm hands off, to be honest with you, of Kamara. Like just like for now, Ken Walker for now and Quinshon. Like those three, I just kind of. I'm cool just waiting for another week until the draft is over before I like have a stance on that.
Okay.
Because okay. I love Judkins, but Judkins is a guy that could totally, you know, be a late second round guy and we could get a swindled in a landing spot where
yeah.
he's maybe in like a Charbonnet type of a split.
Right. Where we know that Travion's going to be deployed with his 14 touches per game anywhere he goes.
Correct.
At the very least. Okay, I think that's another reason that Caleb Johnson should be one who was not really an active target for us until we know a landing spot. That's what I've kind of decided, but I just want to make sure that you agree.
Yeah, he'll probably land well, but I'd rather see it. Like the Kansas City thing the other day, I hadn't even got through that thought process, and him going to Kansas City, like it sounds good.
That would be pretty good, man.
But there's also a lot there.
As you can hope for.
Also a lot there.
Would you rather have Caleb Johnson go to KC or Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Really?
He'd be the Chubb. He'd be Chubb.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah.
he would get be like, oh, hey, guess what? You know, in with the old 225 pounder, in with the new 225 pounder.
Okay, so with along the same lines as Olave, Rashid Shaheed has to come down, right?
Probably. Okay. Where's he at?
He's among the bottom of this tier where he's next to guys like Darnell Mooney and Christian Kirk and stuff. But he's before a new tier that start there's a little tier here that I built in where I'm hoping that we can get a quarterback like Bo Nix or Baker Mayfield or
Oh, yeah.
And then like tight ends like Jonnu Smith, TJ Hawkinson, Travis Kelce, and David Njoku.
Yeah.
I built the sheet to where you do that before you get down to the next tier, where it's guys like the Indy guys and Jalen McMillan and like Diggs.
Are we him?
Does Rashid Shaheed now belong kind of down there in that Michael Pittman, Josh Downs
area? So I'm looking at ADP right now. Him and Mims are only Marvin Mims. They're only six spots apart. Do we like Mims as much as Shaheed? I think I personally might like Mims a little. I'm not sure what the. I think they like Mims.
Okay, well, that's always. I'm not going head over heels on over.
But what I'm saying is versus Shaheed. Where do we have these guys versus each other on the sheet? Because they're six spots apart in.
Yeah, ADP. So we have them up like so. We had Shaheed higher than that, and I ended up getting him in a bunch of these. Gotcha. So I don't want to anymore.
Gotcha. Agreed. So I'd rather have Bo Nix. Yes.
So I'm moving him down. So Shaheed down. Just speaking about kind of more Sean Payton stuff. It's probably time we get Evan Engram up, right?
Did something happen with Darnell Mooney, or did I have a dream about that?
Mooney? Well, he got hurt at the end of last year, right? But
no, I'm talking about recent news. I thought something – maybe I had a dream.
So crazy we have dreams about these guys. Gosh. No, the only thing I remember was that he – like, he didn't
– I felt like he was part of a trade or something. I can't remember. But maybe I'm just future forecasting in my brain, just having a dream.
Yeah. All right, so we'll do that. What about Evan Engram?
I mean, he's the Joker, right?
What's that mean?
How do you view that? What is Evan Engram, injury prone Evan Engram in a Joker role? Should that entice us more to fade him?
No, I think Evan Engram right now should be considered ahead of guys like, yeah, you know. It's just he's in this tier right now on our sheet where it's kind of – we're a little bit higher on Dalton Kincaid. I don't know if you like that. Do you like being high on Kincaid?
It's probably right.
But it's like Evan Engram needs to be ahead of guys like Tucker Kraft or Dallas Goedert.
Well, Goddard is maybe the – what do they call it? The most what's the word I'm looking for? Like when something's – way out in the open, way obvious it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, it's like the best, worst-kept secret.
Worst-kept secret is that he's going to be traded.
Yeah.
So whether you think that's going to be the Chargers or something that's going to make him better, make his opportunities better. But it sounds like, I don't want to say the ship has sailed there, but it seems like there could be some real shifting going on. So I definitely don't want to have any type of power move on that, because I don't know what. Maybe you do though. Maybe you want to be a little aggressive on him and pull back on Kraft. I think I'd be much more inclined on pulling back on Kraft than Goddard because of Musgrave.
Yes. All right. So
and probably a receiver going to Green Bay.
What about okay? So a couple things have happened here with some of these wide receiver ADPs, and we've talked a lot about Xavier Leggett just kind of liking. Maybe taking a shot on him a little bit later. And then also Rashad Bateman is just, he's fallen off a cliff with where he is. So I'm moving Bateman down. I want to know though, as far as Xavier Leggett moving him up, do you like Xavier Leggett as much as no?
Team, they're going to get another receiver.
Okay.
So
do you like Keon Coleman better than Xavier Leggett?
Yeah, I love Keon Coleman. I think everyone's forgetting that Keon Coleman is a really good receiver with really good ball skills that, as we reported last August when I went to Bills camp, he just hadn't had great connection with Josh through training camp. And it takes sometimes time to create rapport. I think they started to do that throughout the year, but another like a full off season in the system – and remembering that this guy was what, the 34th overall pick, 35th. Like, he was a top of the second round focal point of the Bears, of the Bills draft. They traded down with Xavier, from Xavier Worthy, or from the spot that the Chiefs took Xavier Worthy. They said they would have taken Keon Coleman there, but they said that we could trade down and still get him. So they did. I mean, it feels like the consensus would say that Keon Coleman's ship has sailed, but I am like 2 feet down sitting in that boat right now. So I'm much more in line with Keon Coleman, and he's probably, Alex, if I had to guess today, just based on projecting the market, is going to be a guy that I am, you know, all in on.
All in on Keon Coleman?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. We don't need to go all in on him.
I'm just saying, projecting towards like when the season comes around, where the market's at right now, I'll probably be all in on Keon Coleman.
Another guy.
You don't want to do that, do you?
No.
You don't like Keon Coleman?
I'm just not sure that it kind of feels like a dodo bird kind of candidate to me as far as his style of play. Feels like you got to be a super unicorn to be able to not separate and be.
Was he going in the 11th round right now? You're talking about a guy that is attached to Josh Allen.
He's going at one. He's going to pick 118. So
who? So that's what? End of the 10th, start of the 11th, right? So,
the 10-11 turn.
Are you meaning to tell me that they're going to, like, if they don't use a draft pick, which, so the Bills draft picks right now, they have 10 picks. 30th overall, they got 2 seconds, 2 fourths, 2 fifths, 3 fifths, 2 sixths. They probably add a receiver at some point in there. None of them, unless they use a 30th overall pick, which I don't think they will, they'll draft a D tackle. None of them will be drafted with as high a draft capital as Keon Coleman. All they've done so far this offseason is add Joshua Palmer, who we know is the definition of average wide receiver. Fine. Good. Khalil Shakir. Fine. Good. The definition of average. Curtis Samuel's still on the roster. Tyrell Shavers, who's a big body guy. Mac Hollins, who they loved in the locker room, is gone. Like Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, LaVisca Chenault. This room is – he is two shoulders and two heads above everybody else as far as pure talent. And he's attached to Josh Allen in year two. He's 6'4", 216, with ball skills they don't add something that is actually, like I said, if they don't add something that is like, oh, crap. Like I said, he might be one of my highest drafted players in 2025 in season-long drafts when we get to that point.
For your last pick, would you rather have Savion Williams at wide receiver or Torrey Horton? If we're talking best ball, pure upside, kind of spike week play.
Savion, because, and that's today, I love Torrey Horton exponentially better, but in best ball in 2025, the play is easily Savion Williams because, as everybody has, and I think somebody else might have, I can't remember if I saw it, that they graded him or rated him as a top five back or top six running back in the class. Like, that's where he belongs in this group. So if he goes somewhere where he's used like an Antonio Gibson, but like better, you know, there's real upside in that role for a 225 pound back that has actually pretty decent vision out of the backfield, much better vision out of the backfield than he has route running skill. I'll say that. And he's a guy that can create after contact. So, I'll go Savion with that last pick because it's an untapped weapon that could just, you know, it's the mystery box. Torrey Horton, I know, is going to be really good, but he's going to be a third, fourth round guy that is probably going to get a little bit buried, and it's going to be tougher for him in year one.
If it was a wide receiver heavy draft, wherever it's like everybody went with like 9 wide receivers, something like that, 9-10 wide receivers, and you had filled up your salary allocations and you'd gone by the rules, of course, using the ultimate best ball cheat sheet at Roster Watch, was not quite the same as the ultimate draft cheat sheet, because we give you allocations for how many players you should take at each position based on how strong or weak you are at the position, right? So there will be times whenever there are guys that are higher up on the sheet, whereas on the cheat sheet, that thing's designed, it's engineered to where it's like, don't mess with it. Just take what the sheet gives you, because we've simulated this, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what, tens of thousands of times manually, Cody. I can't even think. It's disgusting how many sims we run. And you guys here on the channel, once we get to June and July, you'll see, because Cody and I are just going to come on here and run sim after sim after sim, because it's well, that's what we do. And we hope you'll like that content. But with this, when you're just kind of manually testing this sheet, and sometimes you'll have to get down to where it's like you're taking these guys at the very bottom of the sheet. My main question is, should I add Isaac Tesla out of Arkansas to this sheet over a guy like Tez Johnson? Nobody's going to take Isaac Tesla. He could be a real differentiator for you. And some people are going to stupidly take Tez Johnson.
People will take Tez Johnson too. People love Tez Johnson because they see the Tank Dell stuff, and it's way more Kelvin Austin than it is Tank Dell. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do that. Who do you want between Jaden Blue and Trevor Etienne?
So draft capital is going to be very interesting here.
Yeah. I truly think that Jaden Blue's got a shot to get day two draft capital.
I think Etienne does too.
Okay.
I've heard people out there that say that
they should probably look at their ADP. So Jaden Blue's ADP.
They think ETN's a better back than Travis overall.
So their ADPs are all basically, this is all kind of, you know, round 19, round 20 kind of stuff.
I'll take the boom. I'll take Blue.
Okay.
But it's just a freckle.
The one guy who it's like he sort of slipped on to the sheet, and he is I'm trying to just figure out even what's going on here with him, but nobody's taking Amari Cooper at all. He's falling to the end of drafts. Is there any interest in maybe taking?
Where's Amari Cooper at right now?
We're still kind of waiting.
Okay. I was going to say, did I miss something?
No, right. I mean, he's still a kind of talented guy. I don't even have DeAndre Hopkins on the sheet. I'm wondering if Amari Cooper should even be on the sheet. It's kind of, if he's in the D-hop world.
I mean, based on what Cooper gave us like last year, which was like what, one 15-point game?
He looked terrible last year.
He has had in the last two seasons, he's had 44 catches and 540 yards and four touchdowns. That's two seasons combined, right? Or is that just last year on two different teams? Oh, sorry. That was last year on two different teams combined. Sorry, I read that different. Would you rather have that or like a Tesla? Like a Tesla is today it's kind of a free roll. For the next 2 weeks, Tesla is kind of a free roll. Whereas if you put Cooper on here, you're just burning a spot potentially.
Fair enough. Okay. Two more questions. Derek Carr off the best ball cheat sheet, right?
Off the sheet.
Okay. Final question. And you got to tell me why. Second to final question. Should Kyle Williams be on the sheet?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to get drafted way higher than any of us expect.
Okay. Isaiah Bond has to come down, correct?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He's at current state, not going to talk about the off-field stuff. He's got off-field stuff. Everybody knows that at this point. Or if you don't, now you do. Go look it up yourself. We're not going to talk about it. If he doesn't get that figured out, he might not even get drafted.
Yeah, it's a chance. It could be it's not like a crime on the L. Collins level, but clearly the accused crime is still terrible, though. You know, it could be a L. Collins type of thing where it's like, hey man, if we don't know anything more about this, we're not going
to. Especially when there's already been flags coming up to this point.
Yeah. Okay, final question. You're in a best ball draft. I believe the ADP. Let me just see what the ADPs are, because when I get to this range, I'm not sure that I really care. It only matters as far as what we're going to be doing, as far as making sure that we are we're not bringing ADP too bad. And as I figured, we're really not. These guys are going 12 spots apart. It's up to you. In the 18th round of your draft, 17th, 18th round of your draft, you just need your ninth wide receiver. Do you want our people taking Jack Besh or Elik Iemanar?
I want to hit a home run. I want the I want a game play, a game changer. I don't think Elik Iemanar is a game changer. I think Jack Besh, the guy that showed up on day one at LSU and played football with the best of the best in the NFL right now, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, I want that guy on my roster. Give me Jack Besh.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.